Any student who wants to become an expert needs to acquire knowledge. But to make an impact, leaders need to take their education a step further. A leader needs wisdom. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll continues his signature series called Hand Me Another Brick. Nehemiah, we're learning, led his people through a massive effort to reconstruct the wall around their city. Ezra the priest celebrated their achievement by reading God's word. A revival broke out, and the people were starving to gain wisdom. Let's pick up our study in Nehemiah 8, called The Fine Art of Insight.
You don't have to be old to have understanding if you know the Word of God. Job says, great men are not always wise, neither do the aged always understand. Just because a person is old doesn't mean he has understanding. But David says here, when you have the word, you've got it. That is understanding. Nehemiah 8:13 says, these men gathered together that they might gain more than knowledge. They got that on the first day. They wanted in-depth understanding. I find in verses 13 through 15 five specific things that are part of the pursuit. First of all, it takes time to gain insight. No one suddenly becomes wise. That takes time. I see something else here. It takes the right people. Look at the 13th verse. These men came to one individual, Ezra, that they might gain insight. Now, I don't want to be misunderstood, and I do not want to mislead anyone who might hear what I have to say about the right people. Far be it from me to say that one person is the source of all insight. There are many people with whom we should spend our time. And in doing so, we are able to glean insights for living. What kind of man was Ezra? Hold your place here and look at the previous book, the book of Ezra, chapter 7, verse 10. I just want to point to one verse regarding the life of Ezra. He was a rare and essential man in his day. Ezra 7:10. Here is the man that they came to for insight. Ezra had goals in his life. He had set his heart to study the law of the Lord. Point one I want to make under this is that a person who gives insight is a person who is a student of the law of the Lord, the Word of God. You will not gain spiritual insight from a person who doesn't know his Bible. You will from those that do. Ezra had that major goal to study the law of the Lord. You spend time with the right kind of person, insight will begin. Now, there's a third area, and that is the right attitude. Not only did it take time, not only did it take the right person, it took the right attitude. What was their attitude? Well, before I answer that question, I want you to notice something that to me is very startling. Who came to hear Ezra? Ezra was a preacher. To put it in present-day terms, he was a preacher. Who came to hear him? Heads of fathers' households and other preachers. These preachers came to Ezra, a peer of theirs, and said, teach us. We really want to learn. The soil is prepared and the heart is open and it says, welcome. God, speak to me. And when he speaks, what a remarkable change. Now they had the right attitude. They had the right source. verse 14. Lest you be misled into thinking that Ezra was the source, let me show you something. How does verse 14 begin? And they found written in the law. Was Ezra the source of the truth? Not at all. He was a messenger boy. What was the source? God's book. The last part of verse 13 says they gained insight into the words of the law. They found written in the law. Verse 15 concludes, as it is written. God doesn't drop insight out of a cloud into your head. It comes through this book. Every insightful Christian that I've ever had the pleasure of spending time with has pored over this book. Many of them not even engaged in vocational Christian service, but on their own have made it a real study. That brings us to the fifth, and that's the right response. After the time and the right people, the situation being all that it should be, the right source, the right attitude, then there is the right response that follows. When your heart says, Lord, teach me, and he shows you, you say, thanks, Lord, now help me put it into practice. When the heart says, I'm open, then the feet say, let's go. Now, what do these people do? Well, it says in verse 15, after they heard that they should live in booths, they proclaimed and circulated a proclamation in all their cities. Now, picture that. They went around in all of those areas saying, go out to the hills, bring olive branches, wild olive branches, myrtle branches, palm branches, and build yourself a shack. How about that? After they heard what God had said, they did what God had said, which is a perfect place to turn from pursuit to product. The first product of insight is personal effort, in spite of the difficulty. These people actually proclaimed that they were to live in booths. Now look at verse 16. This has to have a little bit of humor, if you would allow me. So the people went out. These are intelligent, grown men. Picture this. They went out and brought them and made booths for themselves, each on his roof. Now, can you picture that? Some guy had his training in electrical engineering, going out, bringing in sticks, branches, building a thing on his roof. And in the courts, and in the courts of the house of God, and in the gate of Ephraim, and in the water gate. Picture Sanballat, Tobiah, outside the wall. Everybody's leaving. The enemy says, where are you going? Gonna go get some sticks. Gonna go get some what? We're gonna get some sticks. For what? For shacks. You're gonna go get some sticks for some shacks. Right. Come on, kids. There's some myrtle leaves over here. I want you to carry a handful back. By and by, they get all of this bundle up and they walk back into the city. Boom! They dump it down. And old Sanballat is looking over the wall, taking it all in. Can you picture that? Can you picture the ridicule that must have gone? Some guy's up on his roof putting together this little lean-to. We don't ever picture things like that. We think everything's got a halo over it, perfect little booths, you know, like they build in seminaries and Bible colleges, perfect little These things look like dumps. They were all over the city of Jerusalem. And Sanballat says, man, not only can they not build a wall, they cannot build houses. Look at those houses. And all of this was going on by intelligent people. They went to the work involved in getting it all together. I am impressed all the time Those that really put together scriptural truth are those that go to the effort. They pay the price. You know why you don't have more scriptural truth in your life? Because you don't go to the effort. That's why. Forget the rationalization, the excuses. You simply don't want to do it. God says, you have offended somebody else, and you know that you have offended someone else. There's one thing. You go and apologize, seek forgiveness, and make it right. Reconcile that relationship. Don't come to me with all your prayers. Don't think that 6 months in the church, never missing a service, will make up for that. You've got to go. What do we say? Oh, a person with insight says, where is he? I'll go. Forgetting the pride and the embarrassment, I'll make it right. God says, you have a child, and the child is not obedient, and that little child is willfully standing against what you know to be the truth. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, and the rod of correction will drive it from him. And the Christian parent does everything but discipline. God says to us, if you want to get to know me, we've got to have some time together. And don't give me the business about being too busy. Let's get alone together. Let you and I spend some time. And the person with insight says, what time? Lawrence Sanney said the first time he really got a hold of Dawson Trotman and begged for some time with that man of God, with all of his insight, Trotman says, okay, I'll meet you in the morning at the lake. Fine, what time? 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock, okay, I'll be there. You know, Sanney would say, you think God was awake at 5 o'clock in the morning. So he got up, rustled around, got dressed, went all the way down to the lake, and there was Trotman, had a fire going. Now, unless you've built a fire lately, you can't appreciate what time Trotman got there by the lake to build the fire. Willing to pay the price. When the heart is right, the feet are swift. Effort. When God gives you insight, not knowledge, when He gives you insight, you say, Lord, take over. Nothing in my life is bound up. It's closed off. Here are the keys. You can have access to the closet, the kitchen, the living room, the study. Take it. These men put together those little booths because God said to do it. Second, willingness to change in spite of tradition. Ask some people, how long have you lived here? 43 years. Really? How's your walk with the Lord? Struggling. What if God said He wanted you to live somewhere else? Oh, no. Why not? Because I've been here 43 years. What's 43 years got to do with doing the will of God? Well, all my roots are here. But the person with insight says, I'm living with shallow tent pegs. God says, move on. I'm ready to go. Look at what it says in 17. The entire assembly, I love that. No holdouts. No group that said, no, we don't want to do that. That looks funny, living in those little booths. The entire assembly who had returned from the captivity made booths and lived in them. Now look, the sons of Israel had not done so from the days of Joshua, the son of Nun. Sanballat could say, what are you doing? We're living in booths. Ever seen it done before? Never in our lives. Doesn't that bother you? Why not? Because God said it. Why must we have the approval of tradition? We are creatures of habit, and I might add, bad habits. And these bad habits develop our whole philosophy of life. And when God digs away in that habit, we think, He can't really be talking to me. One of the delightful goals of my last couple of weeks was the reading of James Dobson's book, Hide or Seek, a book on how to develop self-esteem, not only in your own self, but in your child. Excellent book. He says this. Talk about bringing about a change. If I were to draw a caricature that would symbolize the millions of adults with low self-esteem, I would depict a bowed, weary traveler. Over his shoulder, I would place the end of a mile-long chain to which is attached tons of scrap iron, old tires, and garbage of all types. Each piece of junk is inscribed with the details of some humiliation, failure, embarrassment, or rejection from the past. He could let go. That's change. He could let go of the chain and free himself from the heavy load, which immobilizes and exhausts him. But somehow he is convinced that it must be dragged throughout his life. Some of you are doing that. That long chain has attached to it all of those humiliating experiences, or in some cases, sin, failures, and you're dragging that on. So he plods onward, says Dobson, digging a furrow in the good earth as he goes. You can free yourself from the weight of the chain if you will but turn it loose. Those men said, God says build the booth, we'll build the booth. You know the third product? I love this. Great rejoicing. You picture seven people in a family inside a little booth. Man, that gets a little tight. But they were having great rejoicing. They were having fun. I can't explain how it happens. But when you do what is right, you're happy. When you do what is wrong, you may make millions, but you're miserable. Isn't that remarkable? How could a family live happily in a little shack? And I'll tell you, they did. The only way is because it was obedient to live there. How can you be happy in a mission field away from family, loved ones, friends, even the place of popularity or wherever you grew up, the home, in obscurity and loneliness, because that's obedience? Jesus said, if you know these things, happy are you if you memorize them? No. Happy are you if what? If you do them. We don't need more truth. We need obedience to the old truth. The psalmist begins, oh, the happiness is many times over of the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, or stands in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law of the Lord. He's the happy man whose life is like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season. His leaf will not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. Happy. I could just picture in my mind's eye, my imagination, the laughter that came out of those little places just because they had done the right thing. How was it preserved? Verse 18 says, they read from the book of the law daily. That's individual intake, and they celebrated the end of the week. I like to liken that to our personal lives. And if it doesn't press it too far, to our daily times with the Lord, and then our gathering as an assembly, in a solemn assembly of worship, celebration. Maybe the reason church isn't more interesting to more people is because the experience of worship is so rare to them. But if you have worshiped through the week, if you have gained insight through the week, time as an assembly is exciting, thrilling. I look at young couples here today who have begun to make their homes. Some of you have been married 2 months, 3 months, five, six, 10, perhaps only a year or two. Where does the Word of God fit into your home? How's your time as husband and wife in the teachings of the book? How much motivation is given by you that are the husbands, the spiritual things in your home? How much insight flows from your lips when you sit together for your huddle three times a day or twice or maybe only once? How much encouragement comes as a result of what God has given you, which you pass on to them? You see, what I'm really talking about is not just intellectual insight, but practical, earthy insight.
Those are some convicting personal questions coming from our teacher, Chuck Swindoll. Stay with us because we've set aside several minutes for practical application and prayer. You're listening to Insight for Living and a message that Chuck titled The Fine Art of Insight. This is study number 11 in the 16-part series on Nehemiah. The full title of this signature series is Hand Me Another Brick, Timeless Lessons on Leadership. To learn more about this ministry, visit us online at insightworld.org. Well, now that we're more than midway through this series, some of our listeners have mentioned that Chuck's voice sounds a little bit different than usual. Well, you're not imagining things. This study was delivered many years ago, in fact, long before Insight for Living even went on the air. At the time, no one dreamed that God might use this teaching series to influence a whole new generation of leaders. And yet, it truly has. God has used this study in Nehemiah to impact leaders from all parts of the world. He's done so through the daily program and the classic book that Chuck wrote called Hand Me Another Brick. It's not too late to take advantage of these resources for yourself or to give them to your pastor, friends, or family members. To purchase Chuck's study called Hand Me Another Brick, go to insight.org/store or call us. If you're listening in the United States, call 800-772-8888. If you'd like to connect with us today or say hello and share your story, we'd love to hear from you. Again, if you're listening in the U.S., call 800-772-8888 or visit us online at insight.org. Now, let's pause and reflect on what we learned today. Here's Chuck Swindoll.
I want to ask you a few very personal questions. One, are you content with mere knowledge, or are you looking for something more? Here's another. Do you honestly yearn for true insight? And a third, if so, is your life characterized by effort, change, and let me add joy? Are you preserving your newfound insight with daily time in God's Word and fellowship with other believers? Be honest now. Insight is a precious gift from God. He intends for us to deeply desire it and to earnestly search for wisdom. The book of Proverbs is full of statements like that. For example, if we seek it with all our hearts, He has promised that we will find it. Words like that appear in Proverbs 8:17. All of this, of course, begins with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, those are words you may have heard before, but you may not have acted on them. We don't come to know God because we go to church. We don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ because we read His words in the Bible. We come to a knowledge of Christ by faith. The Scripture tells us, by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. As many as received Christ, to them God gives the authority to become the children of God, even to those who believe in His name. So I urge you now to believe in His name, to turn from your life that you have been living and turn to Christ. That's called repentance, to turn around in your mind, to change direction, to trust Christ rather than yourself for eternal life. Now, if you've done that, you have become a child of God. Many of us today are children of God, but don't have that insight we've been talking about. So let me pray for both, you who have come to Christ and you who have yet to make that decision. Let's pray. Lord, today I ask that you would give insight to those who know you, to those who believe your word. I pray that you will move them from the realm of mere knowledge to a grasp of putting that knowledge into action, blending wisdom with the truth that they're learning. And Lord, I pray for those who've never trusted Christ, your Son, as their own Savior. I pray that you would make them restless and uneasy, and that sense of distance to continue between you and them until they finally release their own will and turn to you through Jesus Christ. I ask this in his name, for his sake and glory. Amen.
I'm Bill Meyer. Join us next time when Chuck Swindoll continues to provide timeless lessons on leadership from the story of Nehemiah, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, The Fine Art of Insight, was copyrighted in 1974, 1983, 1990, 2007, and 2016. And the sound recording was copyrighted in 2016 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.